Okay, welcome back to the TCFL podcast, where all we have is drama, apparently. I'm your host, Top Terrors, along with Dylan Barilla and DP Nation. So, sorry, it's been a bit since we got this one out. Just planning to get through, but I know Mike has been itching to get on here to tell his side here. So, gentlemen, you know, to be honest, I honestly have broken out the four rows of bourbon for this one. on a Wednesday night, no less. I think it's only the second time I've ever done that. The first one was with Tim, of course. I knew that conversation was going to be interesting too. So let's discuss. Well, Zilla, take us through it.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, are you surprised, Eric, that you're not part of the controversy and drama?
No, not fair. Come on. I haven't been part of the drama now for a little while, to be honest.
Staying out of it.
Yeah. Other people causing problems.
Well, yeah, so I think it'd be great just to walk through what happened. First of all, what happened, I think it was 10 days ago now, it looks like, according to the sleeper chat, that Tim Meyer started dropping people. I don't think he added anybody, but he dropped Freeman and he dropped Jacoby Brissett. And it was kind of confusing. And then, you know, Craig jumped in, was like, what's going on? And then Mike, it looked like you jumped in and said, I'm confused by some free agent transactions. Aren't keepers effectively locked right now?
Pretty harmless, right?
Pretty harmless. Looks pretty harmless.
I mean, and not going after anybody, not naming any names other than just literally saying, I'm confused at the transactions that I'm seeing.
Yeah, so there shouldn't be any. Hello.
No vulgar language as of yet. No, like, accusatory things, just literally a question to Craig. So
then quickly thereafter, Tim responds with a very confusing response to me, which was, go F on the first date and mind your own.
Yeah. So he is mocking. I have since changed it to, are you guys familiar with Leroy Jenkins at all?
That whole, okay.
Cause I did not understand until just now. Okay, go ahead.
But prior to that, I don't even know if you guys had ever noticed, but I had a pretty immature, team logo. It was the fat kid, who has, I F on the first date. So he was mocking my, team logo at the time.
Finally get that.
Okay. I didn't catch.
Yeah, and then you know, so right there he's kind of, you know, I'm not really sure why he you know, in my opinion, he escalated that situation 10 degrees, which then prompted my response. And then, you know, then he goes, mind your own. And in my mind, I'm like, hey, I'm as much a part of this league as anybody else. If I see something that's weird, I'm going to ask our commissioner. And again, to what you guys just mentioned, Craig actually was the first one that goes like, hey, what you doing? Like, literally goes, what you doing? Yep. Obviously I'm assuming I don't know many of you guys personally. And this guy in particular, I know he was new to the league. So I'm assuming he's mostly friends with Craig. I don't know what the dynamic there was, but he doesn't go after Craig. And that's Craig, if in my opinion, that comment was a little bit more pointed, like, what you doing, you know? And he doesn't choose to go after Craig. He chooses to come after me. So again, as Nick will attest to, I am to a fault hot-headed, one of my biggest weaknesses. And in an ideal world, I should turn the other cheek and be the better person. Exactly like Ben said, I agree with what Ben said. He said something in the thread to the effect of, you know, there's a lot of childish going on. And I agree, to my own fault, I agree. Like, I should have been better, right, in an ideal world. But, you know, unfortunately, I'm not wired that way. When somebody comes after me, I attack right back. But again, I'm probably sounding like a broken record. In my opinion, and I want to ask you guys, in my opinion, by no means do I feel like I started that situation. And unfortunately, I reciprocated just as vulgarly, but by no means do I feel like I did anything to instigate that. So I don't know what your guys' take is, but I was taken for a loss. And I literally remember, I'm like, I should not hit send. I should not hit send. I should not hit send. And I hit send because, like, again, it's that Marty McFly, like, nobody's going to call me chicken. And I couldn't resist. So, Yeah. So yeah, I'm honestly, in your guys' opinion, like, again, what I responded with was 100% vulgar. And I think, you know, here's the thing. To my recollection, obviously it's been 15 plus years since we've been in this league. To my recollection, I've only been involved in like one or two dust ups myself. And I think the reason my interaction comes more to light was because, unfortunately, the last big blow up was with me and Nick last year, where I insinuated that there were parts of a Yellowstone park where you could legally get away with murder.
Oh, that's right.
And just to give people in the league context in that situation, Nick is actually one of my closest friends. So, you know, again, I will have Nick's back till my last breath. I mean, that's how good of a friend he is to me. But like any two brothers, you know, sometimes you go at it. So there was never a situation where it was like, one, like, what's going, as far as me and Nick were concerned, like, what's going on here? Like, why are these guys, you know, it was, you know, because we had that personal relationship. And for the record, Nick started that one as well. If we look back at the thread, I don't know if it goes back that far, but, you know, I questioned the transaction that he did to the same degree that I did in this one. And, you know, Nick, as everyone who knows Nick, he'll kind of come back at you with a smart ass response, which then prompted the Yellowstone comments from me. So again, but again, just so everyone has a context of mine and Nick's relationship, like we are very close friends. So again, there was never an instance where it was like, oh, this is serious, or I hate you, or I'm going to quit the league scenario. So
I just read.
Well, yeah,
go ahead. I was going to say, I just read back your comment to him just today, again, kind of for the first time. And I actually really enjoyed the last line of it. I thought it was so funny. And I laughed at myself quite a bit. But, you know, my thoughts on it, I honestly think that Tim was looking for a way out. And he found it very quickly. So, I don't know, man. What do you think, Brian?
Well, yeah, I mean, I always thought it was kind of joking, you know, the Yellowstone thing. Obviously, I knew you and Nick are friends, so I was like, you know, kind of just thought it was funny. And then this one, I thought it was funny, and even up to your point where you had, you know, responded with what you did, and then I saw Tim left the league. I thought he was still joking at that point. I was like, who would leave the league over this silly stuff, you know? But then he actually did, and then yeah, so I mean, obviously Tim escalated it, you know, quickly to just a place it didn't need to be if he was being serious. And then I reached out to Craig because Tim was a college roommate of mine, and Craig's, and you know, so we known him through college. And so, you know, I'd said, Craig, can you reach out to him? And just be like, can you at least draft and then you can quit? And he goes, I did. And Tim said, I was only in this league as a favor anyway. I was like, to who? who are you granting this favor to? I did not understand that. So, Eric, I think you're right based on that comment that he might just been looking for, you know, for a way out, basically.
And the thing is, again, it sounds like there are more people in the league who have a relationship with this guy. And so I guess I come from a standpoint of like, again, I don't know if he's as hot-headed as I am or whatever his, you know, character is in terms of how you guys know him. But my whole thought is like, if you don't know somebody, why would you even risk coming at them that way? Because again, unfortunately, I responded the way I did. And again, I don't, you know, this is so obviously with everything that's going on in the world, you know, fantasy football is really super trivial, right? But,
right.
But we need it.
Yeah. But the other thing I thought of, and again, I want to do the best I can to just look at the situation objectively. I know I'm going to be biased. And again, I don't want to kind of rag on a guy that I don't know. But the other thing that was really surprising to me was that, like, let's say even if this was a genuine beef that he had towards me and vice versa, right? Let's say it was like really personal. I couldn't fathom a situation where I would screw over 10 other guys literally minutes before, you know, an organized draft. I just could not imagine doing that. Even if I didn't want to be involved, I'd be like, I'm not going to put, you know, these many guys, you know, in the hole like that. So by the way, I want to, again, I don't know who Brian DeMeo is, but props out to that guy for literally coming in last minute to join and help us so that we didn't fold or we didn't do, you know, whatever. And again, you know, I think in the handful of instances that I've gotten into with whoever, and again, I don't think it was that many in the course of 15 years. So to me, it's a pretty good batting average if it's only like two or three blowups. But, you know, I think the people who I have interacted with, as limited as it may be, I'd like to think that everyone I've interacted with would think that I've done things pretty amicably and respectfully. And, you know, whether it's emails about trades or things like that, I don't go after people just out of the blue. That's not, you know, unfortunately I respond in that way, but I don't initiate any of that stuff. You know, and again, in 15 years, who knows, I'm sure I must've started some stuff that I'm just not remembering, but in general, I think overall people would, I would hope people would tend to think, yeah, that's more so the case with what their interactions with me are than like the response I gave in that thread. So
yeah, I just 2 points there. First of all, I don't like you because you have more championships than me. So that's a, so that's 1 point. Point number two, if you go back and listen to the team preview last year with Tim, you, I think you'll understand that this is not the first kind of beef he's had with somebody he doesn't know.
Okay. So I hadn't, but okay.
So you'll you might get a little perspective there too, as yeah. Well. But
and for the record, guys, and again, it doesn't hold much weight if you think I'm a jerk off, I guess. But I will say, I mean, to my defense, anytime I felt like I've caused a situation, whether it was in the fight with Nick last year or in this case, I've apologized to the league for putting the league in a situation I have to like deal with. Obviously, my pettiness, 100% my pettiness. So even with this, I felt horrible, and that's why I kind of changed my thing to Leroy Jenkins. I'm like, oh my god, I was that guy that rushed in. And then everyone's like, oh man, what are you doing? And so, you know, the thing was like, I was very genuine and was like, hey, you know, if people think I'm part of the issue, I'll step away. Like I will respect that. And for the record, I do know that one of you guys voted me out. So I'll cool. keep that.
talking about me or Brian?
But no, but in the vote, because, you know, I told Craig, put it to a vote. If people think I'm part of the issue, you know, I will respectfully step away. And then, you know, same thing. I was like, I will forfeit.
Probably Nick.
It probably was.
Yeah, it wasn't me because I don't like 10-team leagues.
But yeah, I, you know, just to kind of finish that thought is just, yeah, I've always, I hope, recognized when I've been in the wrong. And done, you know, as best I could to make up for that. So,
well, there is a question still of, you know, Tim has admitted he had a general manager, which I think was his nephew running his team for him. There's a question as to if that was actually his nephew. Could be.
Wait, so did you, I guess I haven't, did you guys actually interview him recently or this
no,
prior
no.
to?
No, this was from, I knew it from last year.
Yeah, okay, from like the preview, season yeah. preview episode.
Yep.
Okay, got it.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think what you did mention though with giving huge props to DeMeo for jumping in like
yeah.
last second,
yeah.
you know, yeah. basically saved that night, saved the draft. So glad to have him now as part of an active owner. So much appreciated.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you have anything else on that, Ziller, or do you want to move on?
No, I think I'm good. I think
covered it.
Probably the most excitement we've had in the league for a while. And
yeah,
you know, overall,
I mean,
Tim's a good guy. I mean, he really is a good guy. And I think he didn't want to be in the league anymore, which is totally fine. And, you know, it's a lot more fun to tell this story than he just like says,
yeah.
I'm out after the season.
Out in a blaze of glory.
Yeah. To quote the meme that the great Nick Stanton posted, boy, did that escalate quickly.
Yeah, right.
Sure did. All right, well, let's move over to the draft for a minute. I don't really have a whole lot here, but I did want to highlight some of the what I thought were the best and worst picks, in my opinion. So I think
can't all be your team.
No, that's not all my team. It's a lot of my team. A
you
lot
barely
of
had
worst.
Any picks.
So I'm going to go over the. I have 9 best picks and 10 worst picks. You guys jump in, and I'll just run through them. But I got to start with me. I mean, I think my favorite pick was AJ Green at 205. That was me. MJ Bell had Debo at 302. I think Debo is going to be a solid guy once he, you know, gets away from his injury that he has. Zilla, you're in here. Christian Kirk at 401. I like Christian Kirk.
Oh, nice.
Let's see. Is DP's not in the best. I got one in the worst for DP though. big one I thought was at 404, Steve took Alexander Madison. I think everybody wanted him. I'm sure Brad Dowling is upset with that. By the way, do we have an additional owner for the Dowling team now?
It was his brother or something, right?
Well, Matt, yeah, I didn't know that.
Matt was in the league for quite a while, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And then I'm just scrolling up here. Some random person, username and random number, has joined the league as a co-owner. So I believe
Brad's team?
That might be Brad's team. So let me look real quick and see if I can find Brad's team. Brad Dowling. I guess I don't see a co-owner with him, but I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe managed co-owners. Sleeper makes it so hard to find this.
Yeah, thing. Hey, listen, Craig, you do an amazing job running this league, and I will continue to say that as long as this league stays together. But I am not the biggest fan of the Sleeper sites. It's not very intuitive, and at least, especially on the app, the thing that's very confusing is before you go into your league, there's all the general, where anyone from any who's ever a member on Sleeper can kind of join an overall message board kind of thing. I don't know if you guys have noticed that. So it's not very intuitive, at least for me.
Yeah,
in terms of how it's put together. Yeah.
Yeah, and what's kind of funny to me is that the app is actually better than the website, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is.
But
all right. But it's it's very much and again, maybe this is just a sign of us being old, but it's very much it's trying to marry kind of a social media app with a traditional fantasy football website. At least that's how I kind of see it. It's it's very much trying to implement the social media aspect and design that you would see on whether it's Twitter or any of these other kind of things, and then implementing that into a fantasy interface.
Yeah, it feels like that. Yeah, I mean, it looks nice for the most part, but it's definitely at a higher level. It's just harder to navigate and figure out what you're going to do. So, all right, moving on. I have four others. I had kind of a running back heavy one, but Boston Scott at 508, done by the commish. Chris took Josh Kelly at 606. Now, I did this a couple of weeks ago, so I'm not really sure if a lot of these are all that great anymore, given some of the free agent moves and things like that have happened. Mike Williams at 701. Brian, that's you again. And N'Keal Harry at 801. So I had Zilla Ferilla with a few decent picks in there, I thought. So we'll see how you do this year.
I would add a couple. Tom Brady at 607.
Is it your pick again?
No, that's me, actually.
That's Mike.
Ah, so,
there you go.
Which I thought that – I actually really like that pick.
Yeah, he's a stopgap for sure. Obviously, he's not a keeper for me. But the way they're projecting what he's going to do with that offense, there's a lot of decent hype behind him. And he's got an amazing offense. I mean, he's got three amazing receivers. The running back situation in terms of fantasy is kind of muddled, but it's he has starter after starter after starter caliber running back, and then he's got two or three tight ends that he can throw to as well. So not good for a fantasy situation, but from a real life football situation, he's his offense is stacked.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't work out, you followed him up in the next round with Tua.
Yeah, with Tua, and then you kept Daniel Jones. So what are you thinking for your keeper if you had to guess?
100% Tua. I mean, Daniel Jones was literally – I made that trade last minute. But it was at the time, being a Chicago guy, I kind of had, a glimmer of hope for Trubisky. And it's I'm not doing that guy as a keeper. So it's anybody for a keeper is an upgrade over him.
Is it is it back though? Is the glimmer in your eye back for Trubisky?
No, because I think, I don't know. I feel like he'll be on a short leash and we'll see. I mean, just anytime you have a quarterback controversy for the entire year, whether it's him or Foles on a given week. The one thing from an actual football standpoint, he's too nice of a guy. So I think he doesn't have that killer mentality. So I think because of that, he'll have a pretty easy psyche to mess up with. So So it was like, yeah, Daniel Jones was a stopgap in himself. So if all pans out, Tua hopefully will be my keeper for the next, 5 to 6 years.
Yeah. And one more question for you. So I drafted right ahead of you in the first round. I was having a hard time deciding between J.K. Dobbins and DeAndre Swift. And I went with Dobbins. Who were you hoping for?
I was targeting Swift the whole time because, it was theoretically his position to, his starting position to take, but, he can't get past this. I think it's an ankle injury. So whatever injury it is, and it serves me right because, it seems like every year, whatever running back Detroit has high hopes on just continually gets injured. And so I was like, I should have known that, this guy who was prior to all the injuries, at least back to the draft was kind of consensus. He was one of the top three running backs in this draft, so I was really high on him, and I was actually excited at 6 that he fell to me. So, but now it's kind of I don't know. Cause I just feel like it's another situation where it's he's just going to be battling injuries for his career.
Yep. Any more, Brian?
No, not that popular.
All right, let's go to the worst picks. And again, these are in my opinion. So
this isn't on your list at all. The Antonio Gibson from Washington.
Well, I have to say, you got some fortunate things happening.
Yeah, exactly.
There.
I mean, it's again, who knows about how good or not that team is, but I basically backdoored into a starter, running back starter for a team. So
yeah,
a lot of hype on that guy too. So
I'll preface it again. Sure. But this was a couple of weeks ago and I didn't look back. So definitely. Okay. And it looks like Craig's Jerry Jeudy right after that. He's got a starting role too. So,
Craig just traded him to
Chris, right?
To Chris. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Big trade today. All right, so let's go on to the worst picks real quick. I had 10 of these, so that'd be fun. Andy at 109 took Devontae Parker, not a big Parker guy. So,
me either.
First, whatever, 5-6 years of his career have been crap, except for last year. So, we'll see what he does.
Can
this
I,
year.
On that Devontae Parker note, just to give you guys a little context, this is probably about 3 years ago where I had Michael Thomas and Devontae Parker and I had to decide who of these young guys I wanted to keep as my keeper. Well, obviously you guys know I still have Thomas. So thankfully on the coin flip, I kept Thomas, but I do remember I was very much man, who am I going to keep out of those two guys for my wide receiver? So God, I could only imagine if I had made the wrong call on that. So,
Marquise Brown at 203 by Nick. Not a big Marquise Brown fan. We'll see how Lamar does throwing the rock to him, but against us a couple weeks ago. Steve took Sony Michel at 204. Now, that's not looking too bad because Ben at 406 took Damian Harris, who's on IR now. So maybe the Sony Michel pick isn't too bad anymore. Brian, Kerryon Johnson, for real. How did you take him from DP? Right in front of him again, wasn't it?
Well, I was thinking that I need a flex that can start week one because I didn't know how Dobbins was going to do or CeeDee Lamb, which were my first two picks. So I thought, well, Kerryon will probably be the starter for the first couple weeks until Swift is back and they sign AP. So I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Who do you have as your, well, you got Connor and Kamara. You're fine. Except for flex, maybe. All right. Jared Cook, Nick. Come on, this is Nick and you again. Backup tight end in the third round. Come on. All right. So I got to go after you, Mike, on this one. Chicago Bears defense. I know you're a homer, but fourth round? Chicago backup defense?
That one was very much I don't know who. I think I had Philly. So I dropped Philly. So Philly was never somebody I was going to keep. And then I don't know what. Obviously there's a difference between how somebody, well, in this case, the team defense performs fantasy wise compared to how they perform in real life. But I mean, I don't know, man, that again, I'm 100% biased, but I think that defense could be elite. I mean, just based on Khalil Mack alone, much less, they got, I'm forgetting the guy that they got in free agency, but another defensive lineman that's huge. And, the linebacking core is strong. So, I mean,
Jared Allen.
We did that 4 years ago when we did the Jared Allen experiment. But you know, it was more so a situation where I think at that point I didn't like any of the guys on the board. And so instead of like kind of just like throwing my hat into some guy that I didn't, it was just like waffling on. I was like, oh,
Homer
I want
out.
The Bears to see it. Exactly. That's exactly. Right. So.
Yeah, I respect that. Okay. I might take you off the list. I might not.
No, it's still
no,
a reach.
No, you can't.
It's
keep him on.
It's still a reach. Don't get me wrong. It's still a reach. Because I can't imagine if I wasn't a Bears fan that they would have been on my list that high. So that, you know, so 100% that was a Homer pick for sure.
All right. Yeah, I could pick on Andy again a little bit. I don't think he listens to this, but DeSean Jackson at 509, although that's looking a little bit better now. That
yeah,
I,
he's their number one.
I think he's going to play a little bit more. He's just not
I mean,
good,
I don't,
not a
who
nice
do they
human.
Have at receiver? I mean, it's like that Rieger rookie is
yeah,
like her. And
he's
then
hurt.
He's hurt.
Alshon is not coming back until like week 7 or 8. So it's like, I mean, Wentz has to throw to somebody. So yeah, he's in a good situation.
Might be him. Might cross him off the list too. Ben took the Saints D at 712. I guess it's second to the last round, but you're taking a backup defense. Nobody needs that. Again, Nick, this just for you, Mike. We're picking on Nick a lot on this one. Nick took a backup kicker at 803.
The kicker.
Matt Prater had to do that. And then Andy again took Greg Olsen at 809. So one of the last picks in the draft, but Greg Olsen is not good. And I don't think he's going to play much for your team. So those are the guys I was picking on. I did run the Fantasy Pros does this fun thing where you can like run the scores of the draft. I did run that. Surprisingly, actually, maybe not surprisingly, Zilla Farilla first place. Actually, let's go 12-1. And what's funny is he's taken into consideration your keepers too. So it's not like,
so it's whole team it's analysis whole team. Basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So, coming in 12th is, MJ Bell, then DeMeo is 11. Brad is 10. Mike DP Nation 9. The commish is 8. Steve 7. Chris is 6. Nick is 5. I'm 4. Andy is 3. Maybe it looks like Fantasy Pros disagrees with my worst picks going forward. And Ben is 2 and Zilla is number 1. So the dog likes
it. Yeah, your dog likes it. Yeah.
So sweet. So that's really all I had for the draft stuff. But anything else you guys want to throw in? Otherwise, I didn't think we'd make it to 30 minutes, and I think we're there.
I got one more thing. Eric, I'd like to explain yourself on why you took both of James Conner's handcuffs in the draft.
I may have dropped both of them already, didn't I? Let me see.
Benny Snell dropped the other guy you kept.
You know that the main reason is despite you. That's the first reason.
I just wanted you to say it out loud.
Well, the interesting thing, and I don't know if you guys have found any sources that really, obviously since we're trying this first down point for first down, I haven't found any site that really incorporates that into their projection. So, you know, a lot of the, you know, even with the Fantasy Pros, it's kind of like, you know, nothing. I don't know how much or not, you know, I think ultimately, you know, it'd be interesting to kind of do these stats because I've actually been looking them up, but there must be some like actuarial science, like stat that does these. But so for instance, I know Craig's biggest thing was like, he didn't like the you know, the PPR format because like he didn't want catches awarded for negative yards. But then I'm kind of like, how many times, and again obviously it's elevated these last couple of years, but I'm like, how many times does any given player have negative yard catches? I mean, that's where I was like, it can't be more than like 10, right? If that.
Happens
so
for running back some, but
it's like I don't know actually how many times that actually happens. And then conversely, it's like, you know, overall, I think it'd be interesting to see what the percentages of like what catches actually are first downs. Cause you would assume that it's at least 50%, right, of catches lead to a first down, at least for wide receivers. Mm-hmm. So I guess technically we're in, I mean, I don't know if it equates fully to it, but I feel like this is ultimately a half PPR league with this kind of format.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Then. Curious to how dramatically the scores increase and who it affects and who it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to think that I mean, even prior to this year, I always felt like my team was going to have a tremendous boost from any kind of incorporation of catches, you know, with the likes of like Michael Thomas and David Johnson. If he even comes close to regaining some of his prime, he's a huge beneficiary of that. You know, the trade I made with you for Keenan. Oh no, that was actually with Craig that I made trade for Keenan Allen. So another guy, Travis Kelce, you know, he's going to get a big bump. And then, you know, that's part of the reason why I drafted Tarik Cohen from the Bears as well, because he's potentially in line for a big boost from that format. So,
got a tough team.
So we'll see. We'll see.
going back to the Pittsburgh thing, I think I kept Anthony McFarland, but you know, was it the day after the draft, they cut Leonard Fournette, and he was one of my keepers. So I ended up keeping him, but I picked up James Robinson. So we'll see if he.
Yeah, I saw
he's
that.
A starter in Jacksonville. That was great. I'm not sure that's a big deal, but
you swiped in on Robinson because. I was like, oh, when I saw that news, I'm jumping out. And it's like, you're always there. You are always there before everyone. I'm like, how does he? He must have like a, you know,
I got. Yeah, exactly. Somebody though, I was gonna pick up Chris Thompson, but somebody beat me to him.
He's so, the Adam Schefter.
Wasn't even
of our
the first
league
one. Yeah, right. Well, yeah. Running the podcast.
That's why I will say being on the West Coast. Is a little detrimental to free agent pickups, especially because it's like, you know, it's very like true. It's the 2 hours behind waking up and like, oh, and it's like, oh, you guys already are on it because you guys have been up for a couple more hours. So it's like, oh, man.
You got to set that alarm.
Exactly. Mike. Exactly.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on.
Guys. Yeah, I appreciate it, Mike. Thanks for the candidness, and it was fun to
have you. Yeah, hopefully this is my one blow up for the year, so I'm good for my quarter this season. So, So again, apologies to everybody. Again, to Craig, sorry you have to continually deal with all this nonsense, and to DeMeo, thanks for coming in and helping us out, man.
Well, there you go. Thanks, Mike. Again, thanks for coming on and just explaining your side of the story. Tim, if you're listening, you know, text me. We can get you on for your side. It's fine. No big deal here. Again, the season starts this week. Good luck to everybody. You can follow the podcast at the TCFL podcast on Twitter. I'm at Eric Toft. Brian is at, Toft Brian. And Mike is at mchoy 61 something something. Look him up. Tweet him if you want. Anyway, thanks for listening. Bye.